Hello, baby.
I was crazy once.
I'm thinking of a number.
Come to Style and Direction. The sunglasses shine bright, the widths of our trousers are wide and inviting, and our ties stretch as far as the eye can see. There are shirts aplenty and the shoes are cheap. Every working man can have his own suit, and inside every suit is a happy all-American Oxford shirt. You can have it all, and who knows, you can even be featured on the Instagram, become an influencer, or at least see one. Life is good in Style and Direction. It's paradise on earth. That's what they tell you anyway.
How different is that from the opening to Gangster Squad?
Gangster Squad? What is the opening to Gangster Squad? Isn't the Gangster Squad opening is, it's the murder, and then there's a Josh Brolin intro, right?
That's right. It starts out with a cold open of the first lines of the movie.
Mickey Myers Cohen or Mickey C to his fans.
Yeah, what's it called? Dracula, I think.
Yeah, Dracula.
Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music of the night. What sounds they make?
You should have talked about
Tommy Russo was a nail? No, he's like a spike. Yeah, cuz he's a railroad spike in the name of progress.
That's right. You know what's funny? I think we were talking about this as like we were like, "Oh, this is like Gangster Squad is like a sequel to this," but no, it's the other way around. This is a sequel
to
Gangster Squad. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Because at the beginning of this movie, Mickey Cohen is arrested, and we know that it was all because of our boys in blue at the LAPD, Josh Brolin and Ryan Gosling and Giovanni Ribisi and all those fellas. Rest in peace, by the way, to the scientist man. He'll never see man land on the moon.
Isn't this the V2 rocket? Isn't this what we were fighting for? This right here?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole...
He's like, I bet by the end of the next decade, we're going to be on the moon. And everyone's like, you're insane. That's never going to happen. He's like, just you wait and see.
you're going to die before that happens.
Yeah, that's what everyone said. You're going to fucking die before we see the moon, man. Yeah. There's no way.
Strangled in the damn thing.
You'll be murdered.
That's still, I know we're not doing an episode about Gangster Squad. We're starting off talking.
Because we did that like 4 years ago.
Yeah, but still, the thing where Mickey Cohen is like pretending that he's just having a regular conversation, but then picks up the bug, like the mic.
Yeah.
And is like, and by the way, I know that there's a cop listening to this right now, right before the guy's
Did get that damn cash box? A cop. And then right then, Revic. No, the other guy, his driver, turns around and
is that Johnny Stompanato?
No, because Johnny Stompanato is one of the guys who gets acid on him.
Mm.
Okay. It's funny because Johnny Stompanato is in this movie.
Yeah, because he was LA a real historical figure. That's a real guy.
I mean, all of the people in Gangster Squad are historical people.
Oh, actually, I did not know that. Yeah. Is that... Everyone in Gangster Squad, like Josh Brolin,
Jerry Wooters, John O'Mara. Yes, they're all real. Like they're all historical figures.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I actually did not know that. I thought that this was mostly made up, or it was like a thing where it's like these are like an amalgamation of a bunch of different cops or something like that.
I think
Jerry
John
Wooters
O'Mara
is real.
and Jerry Wooters is real.
Yeah, Johnny Stompanato is real, and Mickey Cohen is real.
Yeah, is Revic real, actually?
I don't know. Bill Parker is real. That's Nick Nolte's character. I don't think Emma Stone's character is real.
That's true. But did you... What's really funny is that there is a random detective guy who is Vincenzi's boss in one of the scenes. He plays...
Oh, when he's, demoted? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, or he's in Vice or something. No, he's not in Vice or something. Oh, no, he is? I don't remember. He comes back in the scene where he's like, hey, Jack's back or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like in one of those, meeting bullpen stuff. But the superior officer in that scene plays E.B. Biscaylus. What's his name? Fuck, what's the high sheriff of Burbank County, whatever his name is in Gangster Squad. But yeah, I'm like, hey, this guy also is in period films. I mean, just like Jason Clarke, there's just people out there who make their living playing period characters. Just like the guy who always plays Al Capone in stuff.
There's a German actor who always plays Hitler, and I always think about how weird it must be to be typecast as Hitler.
Well, maybe it's like an atonement of sins, like for his nation. I'm gonna take this.
Do you think that their government like groups like, okay, all of you are gonna play like World War II Nazis for at least like 15 years?
It's like how, you know, at Disneyland, or when like Disney executives used to have to dress up as like Goofy once a year or whatever. It's the same thing where it's like every actor in Germany, they're like, okay, you gotta be Hitler this time.
Yeah. take on this thing.
It's a rumor.
Exactly. Exactly. I think the Soviet Union did have like a couple like official actors to portray Stalin. And I remember reading that one of them Stalin didn't like because he had like Stalin was Georgian and he had a thick Georgian accent and the actor that he didn't like did like a really good impression of him, but it made him self-conscious or something like that.
Was it kind of like the Hitler scene in like Wolfenstein, where like they're on the moon or whatever, and they have like that audition scene?
Remember that?
Yeah,
I do remember that. I play that video game.
And he pees and poops himself.
He pees and poops himself.
Hitler like kills that guy and then pees himself.
Then he pees himself. I mean, who hasn't done that? After you kill a guy, you got a lot of excess energy. You gotta let it out somehow, and that's...
Let me tell you this, Spencer. How do you think the guy died?
Probably
I peed on him.
Yeah.
I mean, my pee killed him, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't the guy.
Welcome! Welcome, everyone, to Style and Direction, a Men's podcast about the stuffiness, the bonus edition. This is the, you know, for those of you who are listening, who are the patrons, you're good. But the ones who not, your time's running out.
That's right.
You're gonna pee soon, let me tell you.
Mickey Cohen.
Yeah.
Old Mickey C, or I guess not Mickey C, the chief of police, whatever.
Well, he's not chief, though. No, it's
sorry,
just the
detective. Captain.
Yes, the police captain, Dudley Smith. That's right.
Dudley Smith, boyo.
Or played by Rollo Tomasi. He might get you.
Rollo Tomasi.
Yeah.
You get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about LA Confidential on the bonus episode of Style and Direction, you know, another movie episode. I watched this film for the first time a couple months ago. I saw it on Netflix and I was like, hey, I'm bored right now, nothing's happening. I can't remember what day of the week it was,
and that's important,
but I do know, but here's the thing, I remember everything in terms of outfits, but once I put on pajamas it's all the same, and so I don't remember what this was. Yeah, I only remember only outfits. Outfits only.
Only outfits.
And
USA.
So, that's right. And so, yeah, I saw it on Netflix. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this movie. I've never seen this before. I think I've heard Spencer talk about this one. You know, we've played L.A. Noire or on stream before. I've seen Gangster Squad. We saw The Untouchables. I'm like, you know what? I actually had no idea that this was about Mickey Cohen or it's a sequel.
Mickey C to his friends.
Yeah, that's right. Mickey.
Or
Mickey
fans. Mouse.
Yeah. Donald Duck. You know, but right. Yeah, I watched it and I was like, damn, this is so good. And I, you know, it's a fun movie. It's serious also. Like, I think that The Untouchables is kind of a weird movie. I feel like that's kind of like a weird one. This one, I think, kind of plays it straightforward ish. Like, there's a lot of like, you know, it's there's some funny stuff. There's a nice little romance in it. I think the characters are nicely well written and developed.
This is just like a really like, you know, solid movie. It's got a good script, like really good performances. I don't think it's like trying to do anything like super subversive or like trying to like do anything crazy with the noir genre. But it's like it's just a really good like 90s noir crime movie. It's super entertaining. It's a lot of fun. I like this movie a lot.
What I think is kind of funny is that it starts out with a, you know, the narration of Danny DeVito, and a spoiler alert: Sid Hutchins, his character, does like he gets killed.
That's right.
Three fourths of the movie in, I think, like near like right before the climax.
Yeah,
I think. That's when you kind of start to see
everything starting to like fall apart at that time, or everything you're starting to see the truth.
Yeah, and so, but I think it's funny, like, you know, it's. I do notice that in movies where, like, if someone's narrating something as a beginning part, and if it does narrate a couple of times and then it just stops, you know, for some reason, I'm like, that's kind of a weird That's a weird, like, device.
Well, because it's, you know, what's funny is we were, I found the script for this because, you know, we did the thing at the beginning where I did a parody of the intro. If you haven't seen the movie, the thing that I was saying is basically the intro that Danny DeVito has. But anyway, in the script, that is not necessarily how it starts. It starts out, it's like with like a speech from the mayor and stuff like that. There's a couple snippets of like Danny DeVito's like narration. But I really like the intro. I think it like does a great job of like setting up like, you know, the movie, setting up the tone and everything. I think it, I don't know, it is, maybe it's a little bit weird that Danny DeVito is the very first character that you see, but also like
that's like what I mean, yeah.
But the other thing is like, you know, the title comes from, it's not based on like, you know, 1950s like crime novels, it's based on a novel. Or crime magazine, sorry, but it's like it gets the name from like scandal magazines or crime magazines and stuff like that.
Right.
But I don't know. Like I said, I really like the, I love that intro. I think it does such a good job of setting the tone for the rest of the film.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's because like they still use his stuff later on, but I guess it makes sense as like he's just reading from his little crime mag, a little hush hush.
A little hush hush.
Which later on gets an ironic use, or I guess kind of, cuz it's said back to him right before he dies.
Right. That's right. Spoiler alert. But
well, we said who does it.
It's we do say it. I mean, yeah, I guess with every episode, you shouldn't be watching this unless, or you shouldn't be listening to this unless you've seen the movie.
Yeah, or if our episode about it makes you really want to see it, despite us talking about it, almost every single detail and in depth. But yeah, it's a fun little noir movie. It's also a tight 138.
Yeah,
218.
You get in and out, man. They're not wasting any time here.
Yeah, it's so good. You know, unfortunately, this does have Kevin Spacey in it.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, we addressed that.
Kevin Spacey's pretty good in the movie.
That's
the thing.
That's how,
he's a bad
that's
person,
how I feel about
but
that's how I feel
Jack
about Vincent's.
He's good at I think, does it kind of help that like the character that we know who Kevin, like we know more about Kevin Spacey now? I think that like adds an extra dimension to the character, you know?
He doesn't do the thing, but he does kind of set someone up to die.
The thing is everyone in this movie except for Guy Pearce is like kind of like a, like they're all like kind of like relatively crooked cops, you know, like because even like Russell Crowe, who is the other like quote unquote like good one, is like the number one police brutality fan in the world. Like that's his character. He loves police brutality more than anything in the world.
And that's why the captain loves him.
Exactly.
Is it implied that they had never worked together until then?
Well, because didn't Guy Pearce like just graduate from the academy in this scene? So it's
well,
like,
I meant like because but I'm saying Russell Crowe. Okay, we're gonna give everyone names. So you got Guy Pearce who plays
Exley
Edmund, yeah. Ed Exley, crazy last name, really cool, like as like a last name thing. Yeah, he's like a new graduate and who, you know, he kind of...
His father was like a famous cop or like a famous detective.
He was a detective who died in the line of duty, and which will come back later. But yeah, he's like fresh from the academy and who becomes lieutenant because he snitches on other cops. Which is a real life thing.
This was a real thing that happened where it's like, yeah, so they bring in a couple like guys who beat up some cops or something.
It's a bunch of Hispanics or Latinos.
Yeah, and then during it's like during
Christmas.
an LAPD like Christmas party, a bunch of them got like really drunk, and then they just went and started beating the shit out of these guys.
Yeah, and I guess like I mean this movie implies that like the press guys were like on the way out, and they're like, oh shit, this is happening. And
yeah, because they were just doing like a fluff piece. Like, what was it? What was... It's like he gave him the headline or something, and it was so fucking corny or something.
Yeah, it was so stupid. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, shit, this is going down. And so they, you know, they photograph it. And, of course, some heads got a roll. And that's what kind of sets the whole movie into motion, because some of the people who got fired were crooked cops.
Yeah.
But there is, in particular, so then there's also... what's his name? Russell Crowe's character, Bud White. Not a good cop name. Whoa, partner. I don't know why it's Western.
How I feel like we start every outro like this, where we're just like, hey, whoa, what's up? We like you we always just do like a sound.
Stop!
Yeah.
Well, you can't be a Rollo Tomasi and get away with the rest of this episode, so we're stopping it right here for you, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
To listen to the rest of our awesome analysis, I guess not analysis, it's just us talking.
Double A.
But of LA Confidential, you'll have to go to patreon.com/styleanddirection, where $5 a month gives you access to this and many other bonus episodes where we talk about movies, talk about Spencer's trip. We talk about.
You're so right.
There's a couple of ones where we don't talk about movies, it's just whatever happens because I was gone or or something, you know, whatever. But they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun instead of our big philosophical discussions about clothing or about hair on
or
the head
anything
and face.
Else.
But yeah, if you want some of that, $5 a month at patreon.com/downdirection gives you access to that, plus our Discord where we're posting cool stuff, talking about clothing, a lot of good. I mean, I'm sure the main reason is the shopping links channel. That's just what people love to see.
Marketplace.
But yeah, the marketplace too. But yeah, really, really cool stuff. But if you want to give $5 more for a total of 10 a month, you get to become a Sadcast fanatic, baby.
Become one.
That's right. That's $10 a month. And, you know, nothing, literally nothing else changes except MJ gets a thank you. So, MJ, who are we thanking?
We are thanking Shane Curry, Philip Gregard, Henrik Wilberg, and Alexander Batten.
We appreciate you guys so much. And if you want us to appreciate you, $10, baby. Come on.
That's
come
right.
on.
Otherwise, we will not appreciate us. You.
Yeah, we hate you, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff coming out, more episodes, you know, we got other ideas, we're gonna interview some more friends, probably, we've definitely got to do Indiana Jones, yeah. It's coming up this year for sure, definitely an episode on how we pick shoes. I feel like it's a kind of a fun topic that we want to do, like how shoes make or break an outfit, and specifically how do we decide what go with what, subversive, yeah. You know, playing into the vibes, who knows, we're gonna talk about that. In the coming months, and yeah. Also, what did you guys think of Dudley's Irish accent in this movie?
I like it's very subtle.
Yeah.
It's a very soft accent.
Well, I mean, it's that whole thing where certain
everything
words
everything kind of ends going. Everything goes up.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah. Does he Boyle? Sound like that in Succession? What does he sound like in Succession? Because his character is supposed to be Scottish Canadian, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I don't think he.
He doesn't really have an accent. He may be Canadian, but he doesn't have like.
Well,
the
in
same
both, you could maybe
Logan
argue
does.
That because he's old and been in a different country for a long time.
That he lost the accent. Yeah,
he lost the
it's
accent.
Just but, it was always fun. I love that show. I love him on that. This is not really a criticism necessarily, but I always did think it was funny that Logan very clearly has an accent than his brother, who is also like a full foot and a half taller than him, talks completely American or Canadian, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, I love James Cromwell. You do what you gotta do, son. You yeah. plant evidence for a man you know to be guilty.
Have you ever seen the American Horror Story where he plays like an ex-Nazi in hiding at like an insane asylum?
No, I have not seen that.
It's pretty good. He plays basically Joseph Mengele, who escapes and then
Here's
out.
My thing about that. There yeah. are just some actors, I mean, this is, I guess, talking about Nazis goes full circle to the episode again. Yeah. But I think it's funny because, you know, he has some actors play, you know, Germans, and I can't see it. Like, James okay. Cromwell, who has a very, like, British last name, and I know that uh-huh. The Brits and the Germans have a K-same Ostrogoth yeah. Thing, but James Cromwell doesn't look German to me.
Mm.
And just like in Wonder Woman 1, you got not Ray Wise. Is it Ray Wise?
No, it's not Ray Wise. It's John Huston's grandson or something. Something Huston.
Yeah. That guy also doesn't look German to me. Uh-huh. So that kind of just gets in my head a little bit.
Not grandson,
hey,
it's his son.
But hey, as an Irish evil cop, I can see James Cromwell doing it.
Yeah, I'm sending you photos right now of James Cromwell as the ex-Nazi. If that, you could see if he looks German in this. He's bald and has a goatee.
They're kind of going for like a Freud thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if Freud was bald.
Yeah, maybe.
I could see this. I could see this a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, this outro just turned into a tangent about James Cromwell.
I love him so much. He's so good. Preview, baby. Hear him do a British accent as a John Hammond XP in the movie Jurassic World : Fallen Kingdom.
He's in those?
Yeah, and he plays...
Wow. I've only seen the first one. I did not follow along.
Because in the second one, they make it so he's John Hammond's secret partner. Not gay.
But like he was like an investor.
He's like one half of InGen, and just like John Hammond, he has a cane with a little amber mosquito in it, and he has a British accent. I will say that one he is definitely phoning it in, and it's not good. And also, he doesn't even appear in Jurassic World Dominion.
Oh no! What a shame.
These three movies are so bad, and it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing the first one on Father's Day with my dad, and we bonded over how much we hated it. Like, we both thought it was terrible, and spent the entire rest of the day being like, "What the fuck was that movie? God damn!"
Dominion?
No, the just Jurassic World, like the first Jurassic World movie.
The first one. Oh man, you and your dad gotta watch the other ones, man.
I don't think my dad's gonna watch the
You gotta get the laser guided raptor thing, right?
Yeah, I kind of want to see the one where they're doing dinosaur auctions in a crazy mansion or something. That's
Fallen Kingdom. Yeah. And then of course you gotta get the one where locusts start to combust and then they start falling from the sky to remind you that it's just like the extinction of the dinosaurs with meteors, except instead of a meteor, it is flaming giant locusts dropping from the sky.
That is not hyperbole, that is what happens
in the third movie.
The last one is like dinosaurs escape, right? They're terrorizing America.
Yes, but they're also in another island again. Okay. So it's these movies are the worst movies. Colin Trevorrow sucks ass, man.
Yeah, we're Colin Trevorrow haters. Noted Colin Trevorrow haters over here.
Yeah. We're not duel the fates apologists.
It's time to close the Book of Henry.
Yeah.
he did that?
He did the Book of Henry, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, $10 a month. MJ, did we say? Yeah, we thank them already. We appreciate you guys so much. We appreciate you guys. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And stop.